Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be talking about the topic of Tachanun. This is Simon Chav Beis, the 22nd section of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump straight in. So, we're going to be dealing with four basic topics. Number one is, what is Tachanun? Number two is, the position it is said in. Number three, when it is not said. And number four, Mondays and Thursdays. Let's jump straight into the very top. What is Tachanun exactly? So it is a special prayer which is said after the Amidah is finished at Shachris and Mincha on regular days. It consists of three basic paragraphs. The first one is essentially Tehillim Perek Vav, the sixth chapter in the book of Tehillim. Then it is a number of lines in the second paragraph about asking Hashem to guard Israel, Shomer Yisrael, Shomer Shariyis Yisrael. And the third paragraph is begging Hashem to help us and heed our prayers. It's a special prayer. It's a supplication. It's an intense supplication. Now, is it connected to davening? The answer is yes. It is seen as the step down. It's after we've prayed. Now there's this deep expression of supplication for the difficulties of life. David HaMelech said the sixth prayer of the sixth paragraph of Tehillim at a time of great and desperate need, and therefore we are reflecting that as well. The first pasuk of Vayomer David El Gad Tzareli Me'od is also referring to a time in David HaMelech's life where he was in extreme need. People were dying because of the census at the end of his life, and he calls out to Hashem asking to fall on Hashem's hands, not the hands of human beings, because the justice of God is better than the justice of human beings. So it's a very, very deep supplication. What that means to say is, because it is connected to the Shemona Esrei, one is not allowed to interrupt with mundane matters until it is finished, which means if you've been counting from the beginning, one starts Pesuk HaDezimra. So Pesuk HaDezimra is a unit. You can't speak in the middle of it. Then after Pesuk HaDezimra is finished, there's no interruption between Birkas Kriyashma. Birkas Kriyashma and the Kriyashma cannot be interrupted before the Shemona Esrei. One can't talk during the Chazaras HaShatz, and then till the end of Tachanun. So we're talking about between the beginning of Pesuk HaDezimra, which is about 4, 5, 6 minutes into davening, till after Tachanun. That's really technically the way it's supposed to run in Halacha. We're talking about, probably about 20 minutes later. So that's 20 minutes of full focus. Something hard to get, hard to arrive at, but that is the name of the game. Let's move a little further. If I sometimes see folks who are doing vidui after Amidah, what is that with? What's the deal with that? Why are they busy beating their chests? So in the Edot Mizrach, that's the Sfaradim, and Nusach Sarad, which takes many of its things from the Edot Mizrach, there is a special insertion after the prayer, after the Amidah, which is the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of Rachamim, and then also an Oshamnu, a Vidui as well. This is seen as the introduction to Tachanun in those Nuscha'ot. Do women do Tachanun? The answer is no. It is not part of the curriculum, and therefore it is generally not done, and most women do not learn it in their regular school system as well, so not as familiar with this as well, but this is a standard issue when it comes to men. Concept number two, position. The Tachanun in Halacha is called Nefilas Apayim, falling upon one's face, and therefore is a form of prostration and intense supplication. We see in Tanakh, Vayipol Al Ponav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua, falling upon their faces. It does not mean they tripped. It means to say they are prostrating themselves in intense supplication to Hashem, and we do this, we use that model of prayer after our davening. In what position is it said? It is said in three positions. One is one's head down on one's arm, the next part is sitting, and the third part is standing, in each of those three paragraphs. And that is why we stand up at the beginning of the third paragraph, which says, "V'anachnu lo neda ma na'ase," we do not know what we should do, "ki alecha einenu," because our eyes are upon you. And we say that as we move into our third position, expressing, not just in words, but in action, that whatever position we're in, we need you, Hashem, because we don't know how to get out of the complications in our life. Which hand do I put my head down on? It should be the left hand, because that is facing the right side of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, which is seen to be in front of us. However, for those who are right-handed and their tefillin goes on their left arm, one should not put one's head down on the tefillin. And therefore at Shachris, when the tefillin are on, one who is right-handed would turn to their right hand, and then at Mincha back to their left hand where there's no tefillin. If a person is left-handed in the morning, then their tefillin is on their right arm, so they do left morning and evening, and it's fine. how do I rest my head on my arm? So it really should be covered, right? So the head should not be directly on the arm. That means to say a person who's wearing shorter sleeves should have something in the middle. So pull up a tissue, a towel, something that should be in between the head and the arm. Most people are not aware of this as well. For those who wear watches on their left hand, that's very helpful in this respect. Can Nefilas Apayim be said standing? Technically not, because it's supposed to be falling and prostrating. However, in situations where there's somebody behind me who is davening the Shemoneh Esrei and I cannot step backwards, I may do it by putting my head down on the shtender in front of me or the table in front of me, still in a standing position to be able to say it. Do we always put our head down in Tachanun? The answer is no, only when there is a Sefer Torah presence. So if one is in a base Knesset, a shul, where this particular room that one is in has no Torah. One is davening randomly, haphazardly, at a game, at a rest stop, one would not put one's head down. One would still say Tachanun. One says everything, but one would sit for the first two sections and then stand for the last section. If one is in Yerushalayim, even if there's no Torah in the room, one still puts one's head down because of the sanctity of Yerushalayim as well. Very important halacha. And finally, last question, this section, what if I'm not in shul, but I'm outside, I'm in a shtiblach, where there's six different minyanon going on in the room, has no Torah, but I can see the Torah through the open door, then I'm allowed to say that. If I'm in the lobby, I'm outside, I can still see through the door, the Aaron, I'm allowed to say Tachanun bent over. Third concept, and that is, when is Tachanun not said? So, first let's start at the beginning. Where is Tachanun not said? So, in a Beis HaOvel, in the house of mourning, Tachanun is not said. Why is it not said there? Because it evokes din. It evokes justice, and we do not want to evoke justice on the niftar, on the person who had passed away, who's very much present in the Beis HaAvel as well. This is perhaps the reason why Tachanun is not said at night. The first quarter of the day, from sunset to midnight, is seen as a time of judgment, so we do not bring up judgment. That's why we do not do slichos in the first quarter of the night. But in Shachris and Mincha, it is all right to have severe and intense supplication. What if there was an Ovel who was in Shul, davening in Shul? So in that case, he would not say Tachanun, but the Shul does say Tachanun because it's still a Shul. When is Tachanun not said? So three different classes of activity of times. Number one is when there's a bris in Shul. Number two, when there is a chasan, a groom, who's still in the Sheva Brachos. And the third class is special days in the Jewish calendar. Let's unpack those each by themselves. What if there is a bris min in shul, but it's not yet. It's not in this shul, or it's not now. But one of the Baalei HaSimcha is in shul. So if the mohel, sandek, or father is davening in the shul in the morning, and it's before the bris, then no tachanun is said in that minyan, because that Baalei HaSimcha will eclipse the rest. It would eclipse the tachanun. What if the bris will be in this building, but not now, not yet? It's only going to be in an hour's time. So any minyan which is before, when the child enters the building, then would, which is not where they're davening, would still say Tachanun. Even if it's where they're davening and the Baalei HaSimcha are not there and the babies are in the building, well, we're not say it. But if, let's say, the bris is taking place in one room and there's a minyan which is staggered half an hour later, an hour later, and it's still going on when the baby's in the building, then one would not say Tachanun in that parallel minyan. What if the Baalei HaSimcha are at Mincha? Well, the minyan does do Tachanun, but they do not do it because it is their private Yom Tov. How long do we not recite Tachanun for a chasan, for a groom? So on the day of the wedding, the practice is generally that not to say Tachanun in the morning. Certainly at the chasna, at the wedding itself, if it is mincha which is being said, there's no Tachanun at that mincha. And for the 7 days of the Sheva Brachos, if that groom will enter shul, there's not going to be Tachanun. That is, of course, assuming that either the groom or the bride are getting married for the first time. If both of them are getting married for a second time, this rule is only true for 3 days. Now, which festive days have no Tachanun in them? The Kitzur lists a list of 13 different types of days. Rosh Chodesh, Tu B'Av, Tu B'Shvat, Chanukah, Purim, Shushan Purim, Purim Katan, which is the 14th and 15th of Adar Aleph in a leap year, Lag Ba'Omer, all of the month of Nisan, Tisha B'Av, the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, Rosh Chodesh, Sivan, Tu, Shavuos, and Yisrochag, the day right after Yom Tov. In all those cases, then one would not say Tachanun. It is important to note that there are those who add other days, so some do not say Tachanun the rest of the month of Tishrei. That's the practice in our shul, not to say for the rest of the month of Tishrei after Sukkot, not to say for 7 days after Shavuos. Those are days which were available for the Korban being brought after Yom Shavuos, and therefore Tachanun is not said. And finally, on Pesach Sheni as well. What about the Mincha beforehand? So generally, if one's not saying Tachanun on the day itself, then one would not say Mincha the day going into it on Erev as well. Finally, last concept, and that is Mondays and Thursdays. Why is the Tachlon so much longer on Monday and Thursday? So, Monday and Thursdays are seen as Yedmei Ratzon, days of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. And therefore, it is especially opportune to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time with the special prayer called V'hu Rachum, which is the beginning of the longer part of Tachanun. This is because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he went up on a Thursday and he came down on a Monday. There are other reasons as well why these days are specifically open and more opportune in terms of davening and supplicating. What position is it said in? This must be said standing. How is it said? It has to be done slowly and carefully. I have yet to be in a shul. I can count the amount of shuls that I go to that actually say every word. This is one of the biggest travesties, is that people have normalized the fact that people skip or don't say this prayer properly. We are at such a time where we need so much rachamim. This is a prayer which ought to be spent more time on, and I can barely remember a shul that says this in the amount of time that's actually physically possible to say the words. When do we not say it? We do not say it on days when regular Tachanun is not said, and concludes with a Kaddish, a Chatzi Kaddish, and Kel Erech HaPayim, which leads into the Birkas Torah, the Kriyas HaTorah. It's worthwhile noting that Rav David Feinstein in 2006 sent out a memo regarding the Second Lebanon War at the time, and he said that the V'hu Rachum on Monday and Thursday, he was talking about what should we do during the war. He says there are actually three different sections of the V'hu Rachum. The first one begins with V'hu Rachum and ends with Chanun V'Rachum Ata. The second section begins with Anu Melech and ends with Chanun V'Rachum Ata. And the third section begins with Ein Kamoicha and ends with Hashem Echad. He makes observation that you should take each section and daven it and pray it properly, carefully, and thoughtfully. This is one of the suggestions he makes during the war, during the Second Lebanon War. And certainly, rather than trying to find all these extra things to do and to try to do more, we should be doing what we are doing correctly and properly. This is the longer Tachanun. Anyways, we conclude the section of Tachanun now. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.